This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in December of last year. We're talking about no other than First Cobalt Corp. Trade on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol FTSSF. And if you're up there in Toronto, they trade on the TSX under the ticker symbol FCC. Probably one of the hottest cobalt plays in the OTC markets. Last time they were on the show, the stock was trading at around 9.8 cents. In January, around 5th or 6th, got as high as 33 cents, currently trading at 23.5 cents today. With this, is the CEO and president of the company going to bring us up to speed, Mr. Trent Mill. Trent, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
You know, you recently announced a, I think about a $10 million government investment in Q4 of 2020 and feed an announcement, if you will, on Q1 of 21. So what is the next upcoming catalyst for your company?
Well, yeah, lots going on. So we had the government announcement in December, which was great because it's non-dilutive. It's a $5 million Canadian dollar loan, $5 million interest-free. Sorry, that was an interest-free loan and a $5 million grant. And so that sort of set us, I think when that happened, the market started to look at us differently. Government's putting its money in, de-risked it, and this thing is real and happening. But since then, we've announced some feed agreements with the two best hydroxide producers in the world, so Ethical. Clean supply of cobalt. And then we've announced we did a financing, started out at five, eventually closed on just under $10 million. And so we've got pretty good treasury now in place while we put together the debt piece of our project. So right now we're working on the debt financing for the remaining amounts. We're working on putting an owner's team together to start construction. A lot of interviews going on. We're working on our EPCM contract so that we can commence construction early this summer on the expansion.
What does, now that we have a new administration, what does the Biden administration mean for not only for your company, just for this whole battery electric vehicle space?
Yeah, it means a lot. That's a great question. The Biden administration, and in fact, before I go to the Biden administration, let's just look at the U.S. Absent politics, if we can. Last year, Europe really was the shining star. COVID took passenger sales around the world down, and yet electric vehicle sales into Europe were up more than 100%, and so much so we're with the sales kind of on the uptick that they surpassed China, and everybody expected Europe to be kind of the next big emerging market. The investments have been made, and I think it was well telegraphed. New models were coming, but the magnitude of that uptick was beyond what anybody expected. So now you look to the U.S. Well, already the scene is set. You've got a lot of investments being made across America, and traditionally red states, right? You've got Tennessee and Georgia and Texas, Arizona, and some of the swing states that are recipients of some big dollar investments. And this year, we've got an increase in the number of electric vehicle models available, jumping from 16 to 39. So you got a doubling just of the model selection, right? And we've got, Ford's coming out, the Cadillac. Soon we'll see a GMC Hummer. So the kind of cars that Americans want are starting to come to market, right? These bigger ones. Now, when you overlay the Biden administration with a $2 trillion plan for green investments, that just really opens up the window for us to replicate what happened with Europe. The difference being, of course, that the American consumer is a powerful force. And when the American consumer starts getting behind a product like this, the adoption rate could really surprise to the upside.
You know, if you would, just give my listeners and maybe your stockholders just a little bit of an update on one Creek Bolt project in Idaho and what's going on up there in Ontario.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about it. We've been so focused on cobalt was in a bear market until recently. So we were so focused on just executing on the refinery. But now that the interest is back, cobalt's gone up. I look at the sulfate price, cobalt's up 26-27% in the last 5 weeks. And it feels like the good times are back and people are looking for new cobalt plays. And so we've got a flagship project in Idaho, which is just a beautiful state. For cobalt, you can find primary cobalt deposits with copper as an important byproduct. We have a fairly advanced project. It's got a good sized resource. I think we can double it So we're going to get back at it this summer with some drilling and start shining the light on that asset. Everybody's been focused on our refinery, and rightly so, because we're so close to cash flow. But we do have other assets in our portfolio, and that is, I guess, number two in terms of priority. And again, back to the Biden administration, we're going to see a continuation of this focus that we saw under the Trump administration of a focus on critical minerals. And cobalt is the rarest, the scarcest, and the most expensive of the raw materials in the battery. And America has got a unique opportunity here to control its destiny in this product. And I think we're well positioned to help deliver on that.
You guys are currently pre-revenue. Trent, do you know when any time frame you guys and your team has thought that might come to fruition, that's going to change?
Yeah, we've got a pretty good timeline in mind now. I think the important thing for investors is, you know, we've got a $60 million U.S. CapEx budget to expand and recommission our refinery in Northern Ontario. We've got, $15 million in the bank now. We've got another $5 million on a silver deal that'll be coming in. We've got warrant exercises that continue to come in, given the appreciation of the share price. And so the residual of that $60 million, some $45 million, is likely to be, mostly or all debt. And then when you look at the execution of that over the next little while, we've laid it out in our investor presentation. Q1, we completed our first seed purchase contract, but the rest of Q1 is going to be advancing that financing, doing a little bit of work of battery recycling, which is going to be pretty exciting. It takes us in a new direction. And then as you enter into Q2 and late Q2, get the permit amendments in and start our construction. And all the while we're talking to OEMs about offtake contracts. Those are going very well now. So when you line all that up and the catalyst that we've got to run through, our first production is anticipated for the end of 2022. So I've got first feed scheduled to arrive at our doorstep in October of 2022. So not far away, modest capex, pretty low execution risk, and call it about a year and a half before we're in production. And the tailwinds are there. So we're doing this just as the market for cobalt and lithium and the battery space is really starting to come back. So I'm pretty excited about how things are lining up for us.
Potential investors and also your current stockholders, why should they take a look at First Cobalt Corp right now?
Well, again, and we're pretty transparent. We're showing margin opportunities in our investor presentation of some, with our assumptions of where cobalt price is and where the feed price is going to be, of about $35 million per annum of margin, and that's in U.S. dollars. And so if you look at where we are, and that didn't even start to look at Iron Creek and what that could deliver, you put a multiple on that, we're still, I think, undervalued. And if you want to try to get exposure to EVs at in the upstream areas and in the commodity space, there are a few projects like ours that are pre-revenue with such a low execution risk. The plant is built, it's built, it's permitted. We're looking at doing an expansion. So a lot of the expense is going towards equipment and engineering. So I think it's a low investment proposition, low risk proposition, gives everybody direct exposure to the EV market because that's the cobalt we're producing. Everything we produce is going to be going into the batteries.
Trent, before I let you go, and I do appreciate you coming back on the show, what is it that you want my listeners and your stockholders to take away from today's interview?
Well, it's been a 2.5-year journey, I suppose, for us, 3.5 years for the company, but a little over 2 years for the refinery. And I think I'd like the people that I guess follow us to maybe recognize that we've always done what we said we were going to do. COVID set us back a quarter. There are lots of junior miners out there, junior and ideas and opportunities. And I think what my team has demonstrated, particularly over the last 6-8 months, is we do what we say we're going to do. And I would hope that you can take comfort in that when you look at the timelines that I've outlined and the timelines that are on our website in terms of what we're going to do, that we've got a team here that's designed to execute. And I'm a shareholder. I'm really proud and excited of what we're doing. And then lastly, a completely separate point, but our ESG mandate, our commitment to sustainable cobalt, to having the cleanest source of cobalt in the world, the most sustainable source of cobalt, I think is quite achievable. And I think that's going to make us stand out in the ESG community as well.
As for my listeners, if you're looking to get on the ground floor of a great basic material metals and minerals company, look no further than First Cobalt Corp. It's my personal opinion. I think they're undervalued here. You can take them and take a look at them, if you will, on the OTCQX. Their ticker symbol is FTSSF. And if you're up there in Toronto, they trade on the TSX under the ticker symbol FCC. Trent, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I'm a big fan of what you're doing. I think you're doing a great job, and hopefully you'll come back on the show in 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
That sounds like a great idea. Thanks again for the opportunity to come back.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.